Good evening. I've never got to teach with Canadian colors on the floor around me. Funny. So my name is Kurt, and David waves, so he knows, let me know that I should be nervous. I haven't been skipping the sessions on purpose. Been out there watching the kids. More than watching them. We've had so much fun. At least I have. Maybe your kids are telling you a different story. I've been having so much fun again this year. And I really, really appreciate you guys allowing us to watch your kids, trusting them into our hands. And it's been a blessing getting to know them for just 12 years now. And just to have this short time to pour into their lives, but just faithfully year for year, having you guys come back and getting to know your kids. And last year we had a youth retreat in Leipzig in Germany where we live. And I think seven youth came down and hung out with us over New Year's. It was such a blessing. Just having seen them walk up, grow in their walks with the Lord and see what God's doing. And there's a lot of potential missionaries to Leipzig. You guys didn't think I'm doing this for no reason, did you? I'm playing the long game. No. So, Galatians chapter 4, and I've got the honor and privilege of doing verses 21 through 31. Before I came up here, Daryl prayed for me and put a lot of pressure on me by saying, "Lord, I just thank you that there's been a theme." I'm like, "Great. What is the theme? I haven't been here." So I hope the theme is grace and not works. But let's dig into the Word of God. So this section of Galatians 4, Paul basically gives us the introduction to what he's going to say right in verse 21. He says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?" I read that, and you know how, like, you read something hundreds of times or maybe dozens of times, you teach it, and then you read it again, and you're like going, "I don't think I ever saw that." And that's kind of, when I was preparing, that's kind of what happened to me in this verse. Like there's just a new light or a new understanding to this passage came to light. When I read this, like, okay, if you desire to be under the law, listen to what the law says. Do you hear the law? Do you really hear it? We do premarriage classes. You who desire to get married, do you know what you're getting into? Do you hear? And you should hear really good things when you're getting married. But let's go, you know, you who desire to get divorced. We've had that before. Oh, we just don't love each other. And it's best for the kids. Whoa. Do you hear what divorce does? Do you understand what you're getting into? Because a lot of times we base our decisions, the way we live, the choices we make, which is the same as decisions, I'm realizing, we base it on what we feel or what we think is the best. But Paul is encouraging the Galatians to step back and say, "Do you understand what you're getting into? Do you hear what the law says?" Because the flesh is enticed by the law, right? In a sense, unless you're really bad at keeping the law like I am. But for the most part, I mean, like, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't date girls who do. That's the saying that we had in our church when I was growing up. And you look pretty good, man. "I don't smoke." That's because nobody's ever started. So it's kind of like, woohoo, way to, you know, I don't drink, and you look good, and you feel good about yourself. And he gives you the opportunity to look down on others. And here the Galatians are confronted with the Old Testament law. And it's like, yeah, bacon's not a good thing. You just look at that pig staring at you when you eat that pork chop and you start feeling better about yourself. Yeah. My neighbors, they're just dirty. Look at me, look at pig on their plate, and you start, it's pride. I'm better than the others. And the law can entice you. And Paul's like, but do you hear the law? Do you understand what you're getting into when you say, I'm going to start applying the law to my life? If you were paying attention at one point, Paul asked the questions to the Galatians, like, you foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? You started off with grace. And now you're like, yeah, let's finish the race under the law, under the burden of the law. And he's like, do you understand? Do you hear the law? Do you know what you're getting into when you desire to be under the law? And he gives us, in the next verses, basically, I've divided it into two things. The first thing is how to listen to the law, and then how to live not under the law, hopefully. Okay? So the first point is listening, verses 22 to 27, and I've divided that into three points because I'm just like to divide things. So, for it is written, verse 22, that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through the promise. Which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which is now and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem from above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than he who has a husband. So, Paul takes the next few verses and he says, okay, let's listen. Let's listen to what it means to be under the law. First of all, here's the question. Listen to this. What do you want? Do you want to be under bondage? Or do you want to be free? Do you want to be a slave? Or do you want to be free? Are you guys with me? The question's pretty simple. Look at verse 22, he asked that. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one of a bondwoman and the one of a free woman. Now, even the youth know the story of Abraham and Hagar, because we looked at it last night. And God calls Abraham to a country that he's going to show him someday. And he brings him into the land of Canaan. And he shows him the stars in the heaven and the sands of the sea. And he says, Abraham, I am going to bless you. And your offspring, your child, is going to become, through you, is going to become a great nation. And man, if people bless you, they're going to be blessed. And if people curse you, man, it's not going to look good for them. And you know what? Through your seed, through your family, Abraham, I'm going to bless the entire world. What a promise. God gives Abraham a promise. And Abraham takes that promise and he believes the Lord until he gets hungry because there's a famine. And he leaves the promised land. And he kind of really does forget the promise. Because he heads to Egypt. And on his way to Egypt, he's like, honey, you're good looking. Like, really good looking. Like, the Pharaoh's going to see you and he's going to kill me so he can marry you. Kind of forgot the promise, right? I'm going to bless you. You're going to have kids and you're going to become a great nation. And he looks at his wife and is like, I'm going to die because you're hot. Kind of forgot the promise. He left the promised land. He forgot the promise. He lies. He says, it's my sister. And Pharaoh's like, well, then I'm going to make you rich because I want your sister. And so he starts blessing them. And you see in the passage, he gives them animals, which would be like maybe iPads and computers. He gives them, horses, nice car. He gives them servants, robot vacuum cleaner, whatever. And male servants, female servants. I mean, he gives them all the goods. He blesses him. And Abraham is living the best life now. A couple pastors got that one. And he's enjoying life while his wife is getting, groomed to become the next wife of Pharaoh. But God, he's looking out for Pharaoh or for Sarah. And Pharaoh gets plagued. He finds out what the problem is. And he sends Abraham home. And Abraham, he's leaving, feeling blessed. Because, Pharaoh didn't say, and leave all the stuff I gave you here. So he's like, take your stuff and go. I want to take your wife too, and go. And so he gathers all of his stuff and his servants and his maidservant. One of them happened to be named Hagar. And he leaves, goes back to the promised land with his wife. God's keeping his end of the deal. I promised you that you and your wife would have a child. Abraham's not really remembering the promise. And 10 years go by. Now, I don't know if you've had a promise and had to wait 10 years, but that's a long time to wait. 10 years go by and nothing happens. And so Sarah has this brilliant idea. She's like, well, what if we take our Egyptian maidservant and help God out? I mean, how many of you guys have tried to help God out with his promises? I guess I'm the only one. No, there's a few people back there. A couple people are. You're in good company. Abraham also tried to help God out. And didn't quite turn out. I mean, at first, she got pregnant. He had his first son. But as we see here, it's by a bondwoman. It wasn't out of God's promise. It was from his flesh trying to help God out. It was bondage. And it didn't take long that Sarah got so stinking jealous that she, kicked this lady out of our house. And the bondwoman is sent away. Do you want to live under the law? Do you want to live under bondage? Because God, he has given us his promises. If you trust in me, if you live in my grace, I will transform you. I will renew you. If you abide in me, you will bear fruit. And I don't know about you, but when the fruit doesn't come fast enough, I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to have to help you out with a few rules and with a few restrictions, because you're not doing a good enough job. My flesh can do a much better job of changing me. But do I do a better job? See, the kids in my youth group are nodding no. They know me. No. The price. Do you want to be under bondage? Because once you go down that road, God, I'm going to help you out. It's a messy road. It's a road of bondage, and it's not going to turn. It might turn out good for a bit. But when you screw up, burden gets heavier and heavier. And you're not free because he's not the one transforming you. So listen to the law. Second point, listen to the law. You see in verse 23. You want to be and live for your flesh, or you want to live under the promise? Same story. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he who was of the free woman according to the promise, or through the promise. So that's pretty obvious, you know, when God says, I promise you a son, that's a promise. When Abraham says, I'm going to do it on my own, he's doing it in his flesh. I mean, he had logical reasons to do it. He's 85. His wife is 75. If we don't do something now, you know, time is running out. And so you're not going to work anymore, wife of promise. So I'm going to have to take somebody else. I mean, it's reasonable. Might be stupid. But it's reasonable. We got to help God out. He made a promise. It's not going to work. It's going to have to be a miracle. And he figures it out on his own. His wife's mad at him for listening to her. Don't laugh at that. His family's broken. He has a son wandering in the wilderness with no future, no hope. And to this day, it's a mess. His flesh did not produce fruit that glorified the Lord. It produced fruit of the flesh. Years later, God waited another 15 years. Yeah. And then he fulfilled his promise. Through a guy who even Sarah's like, I don't know if this is going to work, Lord. Through a woman, 90 years old. And against all odds of science, she gives birth to a promise that God gave 35 years earlier. Think about it. Before you go like, hey, man, Let's put ourselves under the law. We need some rules in our lives. Think about it. Do you really want to apply the law to your flesh and live in the flesh and help God out because he ain't doing a good enough job changing you? Or do you want to trust his promise? He who began a good work in you probably won't be able to do it. Is that his promise? No. He'll be faithful to complete it. Yeah, but man, things aren't working out. Oh, all things work out to good, for good, to them who love God and are called according to his purposes. These are New Testament promises, guys. He promises that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Doesn't say he who began a good work in you needs your help now. He will complete the work. The third question, which covenant do you want to be under? Do you want to be under the covenant of Sinai, the covenant of the law? Or do you want to be under the covenant of grace, the covenant of Christ, who broke the bread and said, this is my body, I'm doing this for you. This is the new covenant in my blood. I'm doing this. I'm shedding my blood for you. Do you want to be under that covenant? Or do you want to be under the covenant on Mount Sinai where the law was written down and said, you do this or else? Verse 24 through 27. These things are symbolic. The story of Abraham and Hagar and Sarah and Ishmael and Simon, that's my kid, Isaac. These, at least I got him on the promise side. Okay, these stories are symbolic. For the two covenants, one from the Mount of Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which is now and is under bondage with her children. So the first covenant, Hagar is like a picture of Moses when he went up on the mountain and received the law. And at the time that Paul writes this to the Galatians, he says, and the Jews in Jerusalem, they're still living under this covenant, the old covenant. But you, verse 26, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. Where did salvation come from? The free gift of God. God didn't say, for God so loved the world, that he sent a real good law, so that everyone who did the right sacrifices, well, God didn't love the world. He loved Jerusalem, the Israelites, the Jews, and those who became Jews. And if you did the right sacrifices, you performed the proper rituals, you ate the proper foods, and you kept all the commandments, you would receive hope of a Messiah someday. That's not what Jesus proclaimed. That doesn't sound very freeing. That sounds like there's freedom somewhere in the future. And then came Jesus. He says, for God so loved, no, not just Israel. I love the world. That he gave his only begotten son. He didn't give a law. He gave his son. So that whosoever, not just those who are Jews or who obey the law or, you know, who do the perform the rituals and eat the proper meats and do the proper sacrifices. No, whosoever believes. Okay, what do I have to do? Believe. It's not even a work. The Bible clearly separates faith from works. You just believe. You don't have to do anything. Just trust the Lord. Will not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen. You want to be under the law? Listen to what it says. Here's all the rules. If you obey them all, someday you might be saved when the Messiah comes. Or do you want to live under the new covenant, which is the mother of us all? This is what birthed the church. For by grace you are saved through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. Amen? Think about that. Listen to it. Rejoice, it says, verse 27. It's like he's like, I haven't even got a Bible verse to prove this, and this is an exciting Bible verse. Rejoice, O barren. If you haven't been able to bear fruit, then rejoice, you do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. You who are desolate has many more children than he who has a husband. Rejoice. If you haven't been able to bear fruit, if your life hasn't been able to keep up with the law, there is hope in Jesus. So listen to the law. But it doesn't just say, listen to it. A lot of times we listen to stuff, and then we just go on our merry way, doing what we do. And it's hard. Trust me. You know, when you hear that, like, okay, I don't want to be under the law. But you don't know me. Like, if I don't set up rules and regulations in my life, I might like kick my kids because I'm just like have anger issues. I can't trust the Lord to change me. You don't know me. I'm a mess. I'm weak. I need the law to protect me. The Lord knows you. Do you want to live under bondage? And every time you fail, to be beaten up again because the law is what's saving you and not the grace of Christ? The law is what's giving you forgiveness, which it can't, and not the love of Jesus? The law is trying to change you and not the Holy Spirit who wants to indwell you and transform you and make you a new creation? And Paul says, don't just listen and say, amen, that was a good message. Preach it, Paul. I agree with you 100%, but you know what? I'm doing my own thing. Paul says, I want you also to live. Listen, and listening becomes alive. It gets feet when we obey and when we follow grace and we live in grace. And so he gives us, I have 4 points here on how to live under that grace that we so desire to live by. We know that we want that. And so, verse 28, well, I'll just read to the end, then we'll go through it step by step. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who is born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So the first question that is asked here is it's the only question asked, is who am I? Or at least I ask myself. Like, or it's answered here, who am I? And I find that interesting. Like Paul's like, okay, listen, do you really want this? And then he's like, he finishes up with like, do you know who you are? Listen here, it says, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the promise. Do you know who you are? You're a child of the promise. You're not a child of the law. That's not who you are. That's not your identity. You're a child of the promise. A good friend of mine was teaching, some of you guys know Brian Canberra, and I heard him teaching a little while ago, and he was talking about Moses when he met the Lord at the burning bush. And his first response to the Lord is like, I can't. I'm not able. This is not who I am, God. I can't talk. I can't do amazing and crazy things for you. I can't lead. Last time I tried to lead, God, I killed somebody and they chased me out of town. I can't, God. And then his focus changes. As when God says, just go. And he says, well, who are you? Like, I'm going to go to Pharaoh. Okay, you're forcing me to go to Pharaoh. But what should I tell him? Like, who sent me? Who are you? God's like, I am. That I am. See, his focus was on who he was and what he couldn't do. And he didn't accomplish very much. He spent 40 years in the desert watching some sheep. And then he met the Lord, and the Lord's pushing him out. He says, go serve me. And he's like, okay, if I'm going to go serve you, Lord, I need to know who you are. Who are you? And it's like Paul is asking us the same question. If you're focused on who you are, well, of course you're going to see all your sins, all your failures. You're going to see need for laws because I know, I mean, you don't know who I am. You're probably like going, oh, he's great. We let him watch our kids. And thankfully, you don't know who I am or you wouldn't do that. I know who I am. My wife knows who I am. And she's still super gracious, too gracious. And if I look at who I am, yeah, put me under the law because I'm a mess. I don't trust myself. Jesus doesn't trust me. But it's not about who I am. It's about who he is. I'm a child of the promise. And the promise is Jesus paid it all. All. We like to say, oh, Jesus paid it all, man. I gave him my sins. I got saved. Now, what do I do? No. Jesus paid it all. And he will continue to do that good work. And I look to him. That's my identity. I'm a child of the promise. It's about him. I am the one who was, the one who is, and the one who ever will, more will be. The one who does not change yesterday or today or forever. And the last time I checked, forever isn't over yet. He's the same. The God who transformed Paul, the God who transformed, Peter, filled with the Spirit, became a completely different dude. Tells you and I today, well, it's 2024. You know, you got AI. I can't keep up with that. No. And we got more power than AI. We got the power of the Lord to change us. AI will never change you. I mean, it might change you, but not for the better. But the Lord will change you so that you bear fruit. That is who you are. You're a child of the promise. Don't look at what you think, your failures, what others tell you, your failures, especially if you live in Germany, they'd love to tell you about your failures. Remember, they're probably right. I am a failure, but I'm a child of the promise, and he is doing a good work in me, and he is changing me. Amen? Amen. The second thing, Paul's like, persecution's normal, okay? Like, don't get all weirded out when it's difficult and you're challenged. Verse 29. But as he was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. Even so it is now. So when you're getting attacked and you're struggling to walk in the Spirit and your flesh rears its ugly head, guess what? It happens. It happened to Isaac. He is born the son of the promise. And what did the son of the flesh do? He mocked him. He made fun of him. He said, you know, I'm the big brother. And his mom smirked at him. And the flesh is not going to sit back and say, wow, you're right. You're a son of the promise. Sorry, I'll leave you alone. Just enjoy the promise of the Lord, man. Bear fruit. Die to me. Come on. Your flesh doesn't act that way. Your flesh rears its ugly head every opportunity. It says, come on. Live in the flesh. And it persecutes us. I mean, you know, you might think like, I love that, the little way he describes it. It's like, you know, I look at it like, there I go screwing up again. And Paul's like, it's persecuting you. It's trying to destroy your walk with the Lord. Persecution is basically, you know, somebody or some group or an organization or a country trying to destroy your faith. And our flesh wants to destroy our faith and trust in the Lord so that we revert back to the law and that we're following rules and regulations so that we think that we're awesome because I don't do all these bad things anymore. I did it in my flesh. And then you get married and you realize it doesn't help to depend on your own strength in the flesh because there's a person there who knows you. Not just Sunday when you're preaching, everybody's like, ooh, you're lovely. There's someone who actually lives with you. And you have kids and they live with you too. And they listen to you on Sunday and they're like going, that's not who he is. And your flesh tells you, see, you got to work harder. And it persecutes you and gets you focused on you again so that you're not focused on the Lord. It's trying to destroy the faith and the trust in the Lord that's in your life. Someday, this battle with my flesh and your flesh, it's going to be over. It's going to be a glorious day. But while we're still here, it's a battle. And don't be surprised. Happened to Isaac. But don't forget who you are. Third thing, cast it out. Verse 30. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Okay, there's this battle. What does the scripture say to do about it? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Cast it out. Don't dwell on it. Don't beat yourself up about it. Get rid of it. Die to it. Is it easy? No. We love to sit in the misery of our sin and our flesh. I mean, look at poor Abraham. I mean, that was his son. He loved his son. And God's like, listen to your wife. Cast out the bondwoman. No. It's not easy. It's a part of who he was. That was part of his identity. Can we just like be a happy family somehow? No. And I don't think anybody would be reasonable to say, oh, that was just an easy thing. Abraham was just like, thank the Lord, I can finally get rid of these two people. No, it was difficult. And it's just, again, there's these pictures for us. Dying to my flesh, not listening to the voice that says, don't trust the Lord, fix it yourself. It's difficult because it's so much. I know, you know, my strengths and my weakness. I know how to build a beautiful facade so that everybody thinks I look good. And I can hide behind that and feel good about myself. But it's all about me then. My identity is myself. It's hard to let go of that and say, Lord, I'm going to trust that you will change me. And it's scary. Because what if people find out the truth of who I am? It's scary. But our loving Lord says, love covers a multitude of sin. The Lord's not going to out you. He loves you. And he paid that price for your sin. There's no need to be afraid. It's not easy, but trust him to change who you are. And then, lastly, live your inheritance. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. It's like, live who you are. You're free. you're free. If the Son has set you free, then guess what? You don't have to go back to slavery again. You are free indeed. You're free. It's difficult. You look at history, you know, when the slaves in the States were set free, you know, a lot of them were like, what do I do? Especially if their master was good to them. Like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I've never rented an apartment before. I've never had a house. I've never been my boss. I've just done what I've told. Like, how do I live my life? What do I do with this freedom? And it's really difficult for so many people to know how to deal with the freedom. And a lot of times that's for us to weave. We're bondage to sin. We're in bondage to the law. We're in bondage to our culture, which tells us how to live our lives. And Jesus says, you're free. And we're like, well, what do I do with this freedom? Enjoy it. Jesus says, I am the vine. I think some of you guys heard this because a bunch of my people were talking about this. So I don't know which workshop or session it was, but Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. Freedom comes just chilling with Jesus, spending time with Jesus. Freedom does not come in chilling with the law and with rules and regulations. Freedom comes with Jesus. Abide in him and enjoy the freedom that he's given you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you have set us free and that we are free indeed. That you paid the price, the penalty for our sins because we couldn't. You promised us in the new covenant that you would give us your spirit who would change our hearts and that our desires would become your desires. And the fruit of our life would become your fruit. And Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have to just remain in you and allow you to change us. And when we fall, to receive your grace, your forgiveness, and to remain in you. I thank you that you paid it all, Lord. In your name, amen.